Our guest today is Christopher Fogarty. The website is irishholocaust.org. The name of the book is Ireland, 1845 to 1850, The Perfect Holocaust and Who Kept It Perfect. And you were talking about Anne Burke right before we went to the break, and Burke is an Irish name.
Yes, it is. And her husband's people came from County Clare in Ireland. Ed Burke had done very nice work for us on Irish issues, basic human rights stuff, until he took two trips to England with his wife, all freebie vacations to England. And he came back and was reported in the newspaper as saying that maybe the English have something right. Maybe people shouldn't have to go through elections to get into government work. It's so much nicer and easier to be appointed, like royalty. But anyway, before I even proceed here, I'd like to mention that in our work, when we got the McBride Principles enacted into law in the city of, in the Chicago, into city ordinance, that Tom Murphy was wonderful. Alderman at the time, Tom Murphy, was really splendid at a time when we were being sold out by Eddie Burke and Patrick O'Connor and Richie M. Daley. Tom Murphy really stood up. He's now a judge. And I must say, I would recommend any case that he would be judge of, because I would expect the truth and justice would come from it. But that's Thomas Murphy. He's now a judge out in a western suburb. But Anne Burke said that if she were to perform according to her contract, it would be a violation of ethics. Professor of Law David Thomas said, "No, Anne, I taught you your ethics in law school, and if you were failed to do it, if you were to fail to perform your contract, that would be the violation of ethics." Well, today, the person that I had to fire for her ethical failure is now the Chief Justice of the Illinois Supreme Court, and the person who told her that pointed out her legal failure to her, her ethical failure to her, has been stripped of his license to practice as a lawyer.
My gosh.
Yes. So what can we learn from that, except that there's something very, very, very wrong with the very law system in the state of Illinois?
Wow.
And he wasn't stripped because he did anything wrong. It was purported that he had neglected to do something that he should have done.
Wow.
And that's David Thomas, stripped of his law license. So so instead of looking foreign to say we want to go somewhere where people are harming their own people, you know, people don't start dying until we get there, until our army gets there. That's when they start dying. We say that we're going there. We have to go there because somebody is killing his own people. But the people don't start getting killed until our military arrives.
Right, right. Now, you mentioned Richard Daley, who's also Irish.
Yes. When we were trying to get McBride Principles for Fair Employment Northern Ireland enacted into law, he acted as a stenographer. Richard M. acted as a stenographer for the British Consul General, Carrig. And, again, took dictation from him and then replied, telling him that certain words were being inserted into our ordinance and other words extracted, deleted from the ordinance. We eventually defeated him. Thomas Murphy, an alderman at the time, finally, we found him. He was honest. He was the British consulate went out to his 83rd and Kedzie office and told him that he was wrong and he should... And Alderman Murphy at the time said, in what way is this harmful? The consul general just turned around on his heel and drove back downtown in his Jaguar, and that ended that. But it's to Thomas Murphy that we owe this Chicago Ordinance being enacted. And it was, the point of it is that it required U.S. corporations with branches in the six counties, the British-occupied six counties, to not participate in the British policy of denial of jobs to the Irish. There approximately 45% of the population in those six counties are of British origin, Protestants, and the Irish are identified as Catholics. And so when the Irish in the six counties were first allowed to vote in the land of their own ancestors, they were allowed to vote for the first time in 1973. And that was after a six-year bloodily suppressed campaign for the vote. Once they were allowed to vote, the British government responded by calling upon employers to not hire the Irish in order to starve them out of the country and therefore off the voter registration rolls. When we learned that here in the States, and then when you might say Irish America learned that in the States, we decided we will require U.S. companies with branches there to not participate in that job denial program. At the time, 25 U.S. corporations employed 11% of the working population of those six counties. And so just getting them aboard, and they were quite happy to do it, but there had to be a law that forced them. So they could say to the politicians there, we'd love to go along with you bigots, but there's a law in the States that prohibits us. So that got them off the hook, and we hope it did some good. We know it did. We know it did some good.
Amazing.
So at least the U.S. corporation did not participate in that policy of denial of jobs on the basis of religion.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
I wish we didn't learn all this stuff. In a sense, I was a much happier person before I learned. When I was working 8 hours a day and then selling house or whatever I was doing on the other days, I must say I was happier. I was happier. Ignorance really is bliss. It really is. When you believe that your government is made up of hardworking, dedicated individuals, it's so much nicer than to learn what's really going on.
I don't think you're the kind of person that would ever not question excuse me. When I really started to question things was Roe v. Wade, 1973.
Yes.
I just could not believe it. It was horrifying to me. It was just,
yes.
And then I read up about it, studied it, and I'd mentioned it to a couple of people at the church that I used to belong to, and they just brushed it off, and I thought, wait, this is an issue. This is really significant here.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And from then on, and I always questioned. I was always a questioner in school. Because I was a bookworm, I read a lot. I was in my bedroom. I grew up in my bedroom with a book in my hand. I was either sewing or reading, and it just, there are some people like you who are just never, you were meant to do what you're doing, and thank goodness for people like you.
Well, I must say the government certainly doesn't make it easier for us. You know, maybe I was spared a little bit of the heartbreak at the time that you were going through great pain from Roe v. Wade. I was living in Borneo, on the east coast of Borneo, or Huffington out of Houston, Texas. He got an oil concession from the Bornese, from the Indonesian government, for 12,000 square miles, 120 miles from the equator south along the east shore of Borneo, and 100 miles inland, so 12,000 square miles. And at the time, that was just one company. Other Texas companies got the same kind of deals. It used to be Dutch-owned, And the Indonesian government were bringing in Russian companies to exploit their material. And upon the CIA's takedown of Sukarno and replacing him with Suharto, they kicked, first of all, they not alone got rid of all the communists in Indonesia by execution, but in a barracks near us was made of concrete blocks. And it must be, it's a very, very long building, maybe like a city block long. And at chest height all the way along it, going by, you could see all the pock marks that were made by bullet holes having passed through the chests of thousands and thousands of people. They murdered some 200,000 ethnic Chinese on the basis that being Chinese, they're probably communist. But it was actually an ethnic cleansing by the local people who just wanted to get rid of the Chinese among them. And so after they wiped out the communists for the CIA, they continued and wiped out all the Chinese. That's what I was, while you were noticing Roe v. Wade, I was seeing how in just a few years previously, 200,000 people have been wiped out, murdered because of their ethnicity. So this world is a very, very tragic place.
Yes, it is. You know, we have some callers lining up.
Go ahead.
We have some callers lining up.
Okay.
So let me know when you're ready to take some comments or questions.
Anytime at all. And then we would go into the mass graves in between or whenever you want.
Okay, we do. Okay, let's take one call that I want you to talk about the mass graves. Just that image. Anyway, let's take Charles in Florida. Charles.
How you doing, Deanna? And
that's okay.
Christopher. Deanna.
Yes,
okay, instead of saying Diana.
That's okay.
Christopher, you forgot to point out about William Cobbett, that he wrote the Protestant Reformation defending the right of Catholics to be emancipated in the British Isles. And in that time period, there had been some emancipation in the 1830s, but his book and his works, he talks about the Bank of England. It's very similar to what we talk about, the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve conspiracy comes from the Bank of England. All these different types of banks have been, creating money out of thin air and usury. And William Cobbett's instructor for his in children was named Father O'Callaghan, and he was one of the leaders in the Catholic Church of fight to get the Catholic Church to forbid usury, which they had stopped doing in 1515. My friend Michael Hoffman's written a book about this, about how really Vatican II and all the heresies in the Catholic Church really started with what happened during the Renaissance in 1515. And Father O'Callaghan was rejected by the Catholic Church. They consigned him to some obscure district in New England. Yes?
Do you have a comment specific to what Chris is talking about?
Yes, about William Cobbett. And was commenting on how the aristocratic families of England, like in the Cotters in Scotland, were treated very much like the Irish.
He also went to Scotland and wrote a book about his tour of Scotland. He warned the Scottish that if they don't guard themselves against Malthus and a few other what he called Scottish economists, that they would be faced with the same kind of conditions that the people of Ireland. By the way, the book you're referring to, written by William Cobbett, is a history of the Protestant Reformation in England and Ireland, showing how that event has impoverished the main body of people in those countries in a series of letters addressed to all sensible and just Englishmen. I must say, I think that Cobbett, a loyal and dedicated member of the Church of England, is too easy on the Catholic Church, because the church that he's describing there, the Vatican, was selling out Ireland in every single issue at that time, and had been for centuries previously.
Well, that's why that they established a seminary in England that was controlled by England. And during the Great Famine, the Gordon Moor, the priests would be.
By the way, when you learn enough about it, you will never refer to it as the Great Famine or Gordon.
Right.
Gordon Moor is just the Gordon Moor is a new phrase that is used by people who used to push famine, and got caught out, and now they're saying famine, but in the Irish language. In other words, they're still not correcting the label. But go ahead with your general thought.
Well, I kind of lost my train of thought, but yeah.
Charles, I think we need to get back to the mass graves. I want to get that in, but I do appreciate your call.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Charles.
Thanks, Charles.
Yes. Okay, mass graves.
Yes, in Ireland, my map shows about 180 mass graves. My book, in addition to those shown on the map, which, by the way, are located by townland. Townland in Ireland is different to townland in the States. A townland is the smallest political division of the country, typically a couple of hundred acres. So when I show the townland location on that map, and they do in every single case, that brings it to within a couple of hundred acres, and everyone living in that townland knows where their mass grave is. So they're all locatable. And then people have brought my attention to another couple of hundred. They're in the later editions of my book. They're in A2 exhibits of my book. And we're adding more to them. According to what we've learned in recent years, there are something like 3,000 mass graves, what can be called mass graves, where the line between mass grave and multiple graves comes in. Mm-hmm. It's kind of shady. We don't know exactly. But what can be considered mass graves, I think there are about 3,000 in the country that people talk about, but they whisper about them. They don't really talk openly about them. Everyone in their community knows where the local mass grave is, and most of them are unmarked. And they're being kept unmarked due to pressure from the Irish, so-called Irish government, which is very, very strange. So that's the mass graves of Ireland, and Mary and I are putting up memorials over them. So far, we've got six up. We're blocked temporarily, and it's not just the government who is very much opposed to them, but the Catholic Church bishops also do not want memorials to them, because we insist that all the memorials that we're involved in must name the regiments that remove the food from the area of that mass grave, there will come a time when we need not be specific about the regiment, but for so long as it's called a potato famine, we think we must, to provide basic redemption or to provide true witness for the murdered millions, that we must be specific about the fact that there were perpetrators. And the only way to be specific is to name the specific regiment. So that's that situation.
Are you there? You cut out. Chris, are you still there? Oh, okay. We're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All righty, we are back. And our guest is Chris Fogarty. The website is IrishHolocaust.org. And the book is Ireland, 1845 to 1850, The Perfect Holocaust and Kept It Perfect. And I will post in the chat room where the book can be purchased. Okay, so you were talking about mass graves. Chris, are you... Oh, he did drop? Oh, okay. Maybe his battery ran out or something. I don't know. There's one thing that... that has particularly bothered me about the COVID situation, and that is that there was a study done recently, and I think everybody's pretty aware of this, that little infants who grow up without being touched, without having affection, without any human contact or association, do not thrive. And I think that this is applicable to the elderly who are in nursing homes and in other facilities who are now totally unable to see their family, unable to visit their relatives and the people that love them. I think this is elder abuse, and I think that it is a very serious situation, and it's just something that I I'm concerned about. I have a lot of concerns, but that's one of the concerns that I have during this this COVID-19 charade. Let me know when you have Chris back. I bet his battery ran out because he was talking by phone. Why don't we? I know that people aren't interested in talking to me, but let's take another caller, John, California, and see what John has to say or offer. John, I know you probably want to talk to Chris, but
hello, Deanna. Yeah,
hi,
I'm
John.
Sorry that he cuts off. Maybe get him back on. But this has been fabulous, especially talking about the history with the. It's not a potato famine. It was mostly where they took the food.
Genocide.
I read in some past that food was taken, but what Mr. Fogarty, I didn't know was that much. And the way it is, you sound like the whole country would have starved out, but I know some survived. I have on my father's side, his father family, they came over to, actually came over to America. They came into Canada in the late 19th century, and they went over to Saskatchewan. They had a homestead act back then. And they homesteaded for several years near the U.S. border in Saskatchewan. And then they finally, Grandma said, it's too cold, so let's go to a warmer climate. They went to Minneapolis. They went to Minnesota, below Minneapolis. But that was interesting. But, yeah, I'll have to check his website out. Yeah, it's fabulous. And look the book up, too. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
Homesteading in the United States also. It was just a way of settling land and whatnot, and it was a good thing for the people who did it. It was a lot of work.
Well, it was a good story.
Okay.
They had a sod house down, you know, up below the ground,
right.
And they, like I said, they lived through the heavy, you know, they needed because of the heavy winters, and then they moved.
Right. Yes, I'm familiar with that kind of house. Okay, you had a question for Chris. He's back.
Mr. Fogarty,
fire away.
Thank you very much for all that great information, especially about the, it wasn't a potato famine, it was just taking the food. I thought, I knew something was done like that, but not as much as what you said, so that's great.
Yes, every single regiment, my website shows part of it, but my book shows the date that each specific regiment entered each specific Irish district and the date it exited the same district. And that goes on for the entire 6 years for every single regiment while they remove the food of Ireland.
Let me ask you this, Chris. Can you, after that supposed famine, whatever was over, you know how many people died there?
Well, we'll never know exactly, but it seems it was something around 5.2 million.
That's quite a bit.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll have to check your website out. One last thing. It's not this, but just my wife and I went to Ireland 3 years ago. I've been trying to go to Ireland for 20 years before that. Four times, something always happened. This time we got to go, and we had a great time. The only thing was kind of unusual. We were in County Derry, and we took a tour with about the times when the – they had the Catholics and Protestants, you know, separated by walls and all that. And it was, you know, very,
yes,
very bad time. What struck me are the person doing the tour guide at that time, he was half Chinese. His mother was Chinese, married an Irishman. And then it's funny that, you know, something like that, I have nothing against that, but it's funny that, you know, you'd think you'd be talking to actual Irish people in that, but it's, you know, this was a, other than that, it was a very good time over there. Some things I saw,
yeah,
and tried to look up where my family was from. Oh, I'm sorry. The last thing, and I apologize. I read a book and I think, I'm not sure, I can't find it. I think Thomas Goodrich wrote it. It was about the Irish and Scottish that were enslaved and sent to Barbados.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Sean O'Callaghan.
Yes.
John O'Kelly.
Okay, be right back. We're going to a quick 3-minute break. Okay, be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, what the hell is in this stuff? This is amazing. Bilberry extract is got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All righty, we're back. And Christopher Fogarty is our guest. The website. Well, let's talk, the book. The book is titled Ireland 1845 to 1850. The Perfect Holocaust and Who Kept It Perfect. And I just posted how to get this book, in several places that you happen to be living in. Now, we were talking to John, and he mentioned a book, and you responded. What was that response, Chris?
Well, he mentioned when he was in Derry that he saw a Chinese Oriental, right. A Chinese docent described telling him about the local history, and he thought it was strange. Actually, he has a point. There's this funny thing going on in Ireland. The popular culture is almost totally American or English. One would think by the songs they sing, etc., in the popular culture, that's in the modern culture, that the Irish don't have any hopes or loves or visions or dreams at all of their own, that they're all dreaming Alabama accents or something. But the notion of they also have adopted this multiculturalism. Now in Ireland, they all happen to be Irish, and they've been there for a very long time, but they have adopted almost all of the American fads, so that multiculturalism, well, that's a nice idea. In fact, it's particularly important for the United States, so that all groups get along together in this wonderful melting pot of America. It's inspirational. But in Ireland, there's no multiculture to have to be integrated. And so they would go out of their way to get someone of a different nationality to represent the Irish. There, believe it or not, that in Ireland, there's a very large number of groups who are Black Lives Matter, and they promote everything black. Now, they also, actually, they call themselves anti-white supremacy. Now, in order for there to be a white supremacy, they have to import the African purported victims. And you wonder, why would they go to all that difficulty in order to make a fad happen? And it is a fad in Ireland. It's there are thousands of adherents to it, of opposed to white supremacy. It is the strangest thing, where the entire country have been white for thousands of years, or for hundreds of thousands of years. Why would white supremacy become a problem? And if they have to import their victims, why import them in the first place?
That you bring up some interesting points. Multiculturalism isn't such a great idea, because what's happening is the homogenization of every country, except for one. And it's just, I think that, and you mentioned the melting pot. Somebody mentioned the melting pot.
I did, yes.
There was a book called The Melting Pot. It was by Israel Zangwill, Zangwill.
And
I read it several years ago, and wrote about it in my trilogy. It's not such a great idea, I don't believe. I think that nations were set up to be nations, and that people who are alike get along better. So that's just my opinion, as I expressed it. And
I think the excuse for it is that by having closer proximity, that we will understand each other better. But if there are nobody in the country that represents a victim, why bring in potential victims?
Exactly. And some of those people, keep in mind, were brought in unwillingly. That's not a good thing. And I think that's an interesting topic that we probably should cover in a program at some point. And multiculturalism is something that is being promoted, and I don't think it's a great idea, because I just don't think it's a great idea. I like to go over to other countries and visit and enjoy their culture. Somebody in the chat room asked if my grandfather was a Fogarty. My maiden name is Burks, B-U-R-K-S. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. That's an Irish name.
Mm-hmm. The Burkes in Ireland are actually Normans. They've only been in Ireland for something like 700 years.
Oh, well, I'm a latecomer.
Yeah.
And then we 1170. Got out. Yeah, we got out in 1770, so we didn't stay long, I guess.
That's right. That's right. Decided to get some sunlight.
Yeah, maybe we knew what was coming or something. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, very interesting. I love history. I love family history. I've done a lot of it. Should we take another call?
Sure.
Or let's see, did John have another item he wanted to discuss? We do have some other calls.
Chris,
John, did you have something else quickly?
Yeah, about that book by Shauna Callahan, about the down in the Barbados in that area in the Caribbean. I think I've been trying to look. There's possibly some of my distant family might have been some of those slaves. I'm trying to check that out.
Yeah. Wow. Probably was.
When Cromwell wiped out the entire population of Drogheda, he took the women and children the survivors, maybe some men, but the survivors filled a couple of shiploads, and he took them down to Jamaica, where he founded Jamaica as a slave island, using Irish slaves as the first ones there. Yes. Much later on, with my Puerto Rican corporation operating out of San Juan, I was doing work for the United States Navy on the island of Antigua. And one weekend, I went over to the nearby island of Montserrat. It's called the Emerald Island. There's a shamrock on the gable of Government House in Plymouth, the capital of Montserrat. And there's a Fogarty Hill there. There were a lot of slaves, Irish slaves in Montserrat. Although the majority were Irish. The reason they were there is that there had been some kind of a religious quarrel between the slaves on Nevis St. Kitts, and the Catholics were all moved out, and they went to Montserrat. And that's why that is called the Irish Island to this day, because of a split among the slaves over on St. Kitts, Nevis. So they're part of how things go. Again, a sad world. And the blood of Montserrat, I think, is pretty much soaked with the slaves who died there. It's very sad. The northern half of the island, maybe the eastern end of the island, was wiped out by a volcano back around 1992. And it buried the town, the capital of Plymouth, in about 8 feet of ashes.
Wow.
Chris said some of there's still some descendants. They're called red legs because the sun, the hot sun.
Yeah, red legs or red shanks. Red, yes. They're in Barbados. Sean O'Callaghan did a nice job of discovering a little group of them. And evidently life is very difficult for them. They never integrated, and they're kept as a suppressed minority within Barbados and hostile to the whole world, probably for good reason, because the whites are now a very small minority of natives on the island of Barbados, and they're non-existent in the other islands. They have been overwhelmed by the Portuguese and by the Africans and others. So there's no notable Irish component or even white component to the rest of the islands. There must, at a time, it's my understanding that the breeding was encouraged between the blacks and whites in order to keep them all. Blacks could be kept as slaves after the end of slavery, but whites couldn't. So whites could run away, blacks couldn't so well. So that Sean O'Callaghan is a different Sean O'Callaghan to the Irish traitor who informed on the IRA in 1980-something when they brought the shipload on the Valhalla out of Boston over to Phoenix Harbor in County Kerry. There was a traitor there among the IRA, Sean O'Callaghan. But that's a different Sean O'Callaghan to the one who wrote the book. That Sean O'Callaghan is straight, and that's an interesting book about of To Hell or Barbados. There's an earlier statement, To Hell or Connacht, where under Cromwell, any Irish person found east of the River Shannon in Ireland after 1653 could be killed on sight or enslaved. And so the population moved to the west of the Shannon. There's a very sad story about highly educated people who had taught all over Europe and who fled from Donegal down into the bogs of Mayo. That's a separate issue, very touching. So you've touched on Jamaica. We'll call that quits then, shall we?
All righty. Thank you,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, it was a great book. Thank you very much, Chris, for all your work. Thank you, Deanna. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. All righty. Would you like to continue with the mass graves?
Yes. So we're encouraging people to contact their relatives in Ireland and to let them know that you're willing to participate in their installation of the unmarked mass graves of Ireland. Again, they're all over the country. There's where the land is fertile, they're probably no more than a mile and a half apart or so, these mass graves, because essentially more than half the population, the indigenous population of Ireland, were murdered in it. And they were murdered by removing of their own output out of their hands and to be sold in the marketplaces of Europe and England the proceeds going to the English landlords, who are now all gone from Ireland.
Wow. What a tragedy.
So, oh, by the way, what I haven't mentioned is that there was a commander-in-chief of the Holocaust, and his name was Blakeney.
Oh, really?
Edward Blakeney. His uncle used to be England's High Sheriff of County Galway, and he had an estate called Castle Blakeney in South County, middle of County Galway, that is now not on the map, but is near what is now Mount Bellew in County Galway. And that Blakeney had fought against the Americans at the Battle of New Orleans in January 1815. His commanding officer was who led that battle of New Orleans for the British was General Edward Pakenham. He was the son of another English landlord in Ireland, and he was killed there. He was shot dead. A few weeks before the end of the year of 1814, another British general, General Ross of Ross Trevor, County Down, who burned the White House and destroyed Washington, D.C., he was later killed at the Battle of Baltimore, at Fort Henry, at Baltimore, about which Francis Scott Key wrote the words of the Star-Spangled Banner, the American National Anthem.
Mm-hmm.
So that's two generals who died fighting again, and they were so-called Irish landlords. They were English landlords in Ireland. Historians like to call them Irish, but they fought for the British. They worked with the British. They were from England. And a lieutenant fighting against the Americans in New Orleans, Blakeney, later became the commander-in-chief of the 67 regiments from beginning to end of the Irish Holocaust. As they approached completion of the Holocaust, in May of 1849, Queen Victoria conferred an Order of the Bath upon General Sir Edward Blakeney for his wonderful achievement of the murder of 5.2 million Irish.
Oh my gosh. How could anybody be so heartless?
Well, there's Queen Victoria who showed up in recent film from England, a series on U.S. television, and she's portrayed as a very loving, compassionate Queen Victoria. But she conferred an Order of the Bath upon the commanding general of the Irish Holocaust as he approached successful completion. So that's General Edward Blakeney. But he has been written out of Irish history. He does not show up on a single book ever written about Irish history. He has been thrown down the memory hole intentionally, even though he's there as large as life in the British government's own records. His title, his function, everything he did, his reports about progress of the starvation, his handling of it, of the removal of the food, all of that is a matter of record, but somehow he doesn't show up in any history books. You'd wonder what person in Poland would want to write Goebbels or others out of their history books. It's a strange thing.
For the listeners, could you spell the last name? His last name.
Blakeney. 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 Edward.
Wow.
His uncle John had been the High Sheriff of Cook County for the British government. And the family estate was Castle Blakeney in County Galway, near Mount Bellew, all one word, Mount Bellew, B-E-L-L-E-W, in County Galway. So that's Sir Edward Blakeney, again, written out of all history everywhere, except the official record.
Really? Why do you suppose that is?
Once you know the name of the commanding general of a mission, then you learn about the mission itself and the whole point of blocking all of this out is to throw it all down the memory hole. Let's all wink at each other and pretend to not know about it.
Right. Wow. Now, when did he die? Do you know? Is that 1868?
In the 1860s.
Okay, 1868. Okay. Yeah. All righty. We're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All righty, welcome back. Our guest has been Christopher Fogarty, and I can't believe that our time is just about up for today. We still have callers on the line, but I would prefer that we finish up with your remarks and your information. You were talking about... about the 5.2 million, and what are your plans going forward? Chris, are you there? No? Is Chris, did we lose Chris again? Oh, dear. I think his battery must not be working right. Okay, why don't we take a phone call? Maybe I can answer a question, although I doubt it. But let's take Tom in Florida. Tom, we have two minutes.
Yes, good day to you and Chris. But listen, I want to tell you first off, I have told Chris this. The Irish are the second biggest population in the United States. First the Germans, and then you have the Irish. There's 16.5% of the Irish, the population of the United States, in the White Caucasian are Irish. Number one is German, and then is Irish, and then you got the other groups, Polish and all the other groups. In Chicago, the Irish and the Italians and the Polish and the Swedes actually intermingle like crazy. They all are interbreeding with each other as far as a group. Also, as far as the Civil War goes, the Irish and the Scots were probably the biggest fighters in the Civil War in the North and the South. And then in the South, you had a city called Dublin, Georgia, where a lot of Irish and Scots actually did live. And the North and the South did fight it out. Mainly, it was Irish against Scottish and Scottish against Irish on the North and South side of the Civil War. Also, talking about the potato famine. And by the way, there was a great movie made back in the 70s. I think it was the early 70s or late 60s. Ryan's Daughter.
It wasn't
Daughter.
A
you ever
famine.
See that movie with Robert Mitchum?
It wasn't. Let's not call it a famine. It was a genocide. Really?
Okay,
that's
a famine.
What it was.
It was a famine.
It was a genocide.
I mean, a genocide. It was a genocide. You're right. Absolutely. I told you. I can tell you all about it, but I don't really have time. But yeah, there was a great movie made back in the 60s. I believe it was with Robert Mitchum. It was called, and Mia Farrow called Ryan's Daughter. That was a good movie. That was one reason. You know, the Germans, the Irish actually were neutral in World War II. Basically. They didn't really side up with anybody. And the main language in Ireland, I believe, I'd like to ask Chris, is either Gaelic, and I believe they have Latin in there. The lot people in Ireland actually were speaking Latin up to like the 1800s. I would like to ask Chris that. I know they were speaking Gaelic and Latin because Romans did go in Ireland.
We'll certainly have him back. I'm sure he's got telephone issues. But we are just about out of time. And certainly you brought up the Civil War, and which I've written an awful lot about. But anyway, thank you for your phone call and for hanging on.
Remember,
so long.
The Irish were 16% of the population to this day in the United States. 16% of
the
American.
They're good people.
Irish.
They're good people. So anyway,
you
thank you, Tom. Thank you so much. All righty. Well, that wraps it up for today. I appreciate you listening, and we will have Chris back. And please do buy his book. It's a fabulous, fabulous book, and deserves to be read, deserves your attention. And I am just so amazed by this man and Mary, his wife. What a great, noble pair. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.